This is PodTech.net at CDN Live Silicon Valley at San Jose's McHenry Convention Center.
I'm here with Mike Pfister, President and CEO of Cadence Design Systems, Inc., and Jim Kale, IBM Fellow and Chief Architect and Director of Technology for the Austin-based Center for Cell Technology. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thank
you.
I wanted to talk today about some innovative collaboration that your two companies have engaged in having to do with cell technology. Jim Kale, IBM Fellow.
So our relationship with Cadence has gone back many years, and it's a key aspect of our custom microprocessor design. And for the cell technology and pushing ourselves to the technology limits is very important in custom design process. There are many key tools that Cadence provides with us. There are tools that we work on in the forefront. There are some tools that we find unique value that we keep pushing. We like to look at those elements, and then when tools get to a point where it's not as productive for us to be in the forefront, you know, we like other companies to look at, you know, where else can we find solutions and start mixing them together. So we're always in a design system that's always evolving. We're looking at the best tools. What is the best one from an innovative standpoint? What is the best one from a productivity standpoint? And continually evolve that process forward to move our designs.
Tell me what cell technology is and why it's important to the industry and to consumers.
So cell technology was a thrust for the next generation games and interactivity between humans. So there are elements of saying, okay, it's good at gaming and those elements, but also is a new world which was being brought forth is immersive interaction. How do people really communicate on a natural real-time basis? And as that communication goes, it might be direct and just transposing data, but maybe it'll be in a background of virtual reality. And how do you compose virtual realities that help an interaction occur? And really bring people together and how they communicate. So you have games where one-on-one, you'll have interacted with small teams, like six-person teams, and then you also have massively online games where there's a massive amount of interaction and gameplay between these elements. So it's bringing elements that allow this natural interaction between humans and computers to start taking it to the next level. That's what we started driving for.
So essentially, Cadence was working to provide tools for the cell tech development. Is that right?
It's not unique for the cell. I think what Jim was saying is, and it's a characteristic of some of the most innovative companies in the world, certainly IBM is there. The innovation to be able to build projects like the cell, one of the most complex microprocessors, stems from a lot of innate knowledge. What we do is we work on in two fronts then. One, evolving the capabilities of our current tools, and we do that together so that we can automate the mundane. And two, look at some of the forward-looking things that these most innovative companies in the world are doing as a protagonist for what will happen next. And in that way, drive the productivity of the collaboration that we have and eventually for the whole industry. And it has to be a collaboration because there has to be a confidence to be able to share those knowledges together on behalf of both the project and being able to eventually outflow in the world. And that's a pleasure to work with IBM that way.
What kinds of design and innovation challenges did the collaborative approach you took solve?
Well, through collaboration, you can get results that you can't achieve yourself. I think some mistakes some companies get into is they say, let me solve all my problems and get myself a box. And when you look outside your own box and involve the best thinking, you actually step up the whole level of knowledge and can find more innovative ways to approach problems or different ways to approach problems. And it's just sort of a key element to success.
I can think of three challenges that I just was awe-inspired with the IBM team. One is geographical. That team was just deployed all around the globe. And having consistency, continuity of support is something that's very, very difficult. And we could certainly aid at Cadence because we have that continuous support all throughout the world. Number two was just the raw challenge of the device itself, trading off the complexities of speed and power and the incredible densities that were manifested to build that chip. That's a stressing the limits of the tools and being able to work creatively on extending our capabilities and sharing those thoughts together. And the third is that verification. How do you prove that what was in the mind of the architect got correctly implemented, and especially with the time and people efficiency? That's something that IBM has always pioneered. They're one of the most advanced deployers of our verification technology in the world, and serve as kind of an archetype for many, many other companies to emulate.
The verification, we assume that we're gonna get a chip back and power it on, it'll run the operating system, and they do that, but we almost take it for granted, but it's because we continually refine these processes and work on that next level of pushing the demands. And you take a chip like Cell, where you're pushing the limits, it pushes all the tools, and you have to keep extending your level of collaboration to get these kind of results.
Are you continuing to collaborate in other areas?
We have had a very nice collaboration that manifested itself about 3 months ago with the so-called space-based router. And it's a little bit, I suppose, esoteric, but what happens is the agreement between chip designers and process developers used to be very rules predicated. If you space the transistors this far apart, life will be fine. Now, not only do the transistors have to know about each other, but the neighborhood that they're in. And this requires that you consider the neighborhood as a space, as opposed to a house or whatever the identity would be itself. That itself is a psychological or a empirical thought process breakthrough that had to happen. We engaged on that together, implemented it into the stream of things. It impacts not only the design process, but the manufacturing ability of the chip. And it debuted, as I say, a little over a quarter ago with a lot of fanfare. And I think only for the most complex devices in the world would you ever have adapted such a such an engaging intellectual consideration. And so this is the way all the world will work, is the process will have high shrinks from 90 to 65 to 45. It's just a requirement.
Right, so I think it's an important element is that IBM can get the technologists and the circuit designers together, and we have great capabilities in that, but you also have these other linkages like the tools, and how do you automate that, and how do you really bring forth those ideas that we can work on, and you have to bring in the right companies and get the right triad of information to really work through a collaboration.
Finally, how do the customers fit into this? How does listening to your customers and designing applications for your customers drive innovation in your companies?
Well, I think it's essential to have that mindset. And it's the worst thing in the world is when you think you know everything. Tim and I were talking before as we walked over, because we're both old microprocessor guys. And the big breakthroughs came when we didn't build technology looking for a problem to solve. We had looked at the problems and said, how do you build technology that attacks those kinds of problems? And you have to look sometimes all the way to the customer of a customer. Not just the person you would sell to, but who would absorb it after that. Because those are the system. Those are the real end-to-end guys. Those are the ones that engage the rest of the ecosystem. In our company, we look to our customers like IBM and GM. We also look to companies like Nokia, who's a cell phone integrator, or Sony is a perfect example in the cell. So that we can anticipate how our tools can help GM also relate to them, develop their applications in parallel with the development of the chips or something. And I think that implies that customer of a customer dynamic is a breakthrough that the whole world anticipates as they consider it as an end-to-end problem.
We actually design our design centers and our contracts so there's a long-term relationship with a customer, because the actual, as you're sort of saying, the customer doesn't really know how to solve its problem. It can give you a problem. You have to work with them and sort of say, does this help you solve your problem? Or what are you really trying to do? And a quick exchange of a document saying, here's my requirements. That doesn't work. It takes a long-term relationship building period, understanding what you're really trying to tackle, and then saying, here's some innovative ways to solve that. Then they think of new ways to apply that. And then it starts building on top of each other. And it takes it to another level. So it has to be a trust-driven, long-term relationship that builds over time with the customer before you really explore these deep inner relationships and understanding of what the requirements are. And it takes a long time for those to mature. I think collaboration is just going to be the way of the future. It's got to be a natural way that people interact, and the world-class teams that they get this right are the ones that are going to succeed.
I agree. I think we both touch upon it. Even companies as big as IBM, they could spend their time probably innovating every little piece and being intensely vertical. And I think the real breakthroughs have come as they said, hey, let's find pieces of the ecosystem that we can work with it and engage those that can be done by that. And let's move our focus up to higher levels of abstraction. And it happens in every company with every focus that we all individually have. Those that adapt that the quickest evolve the fastest. The worst are those who get stuck in, I want to do everything myself. And even if you could, it may not be the most efficient way to operate. And it's a relationship that has to have maturity and confidence to do that, because you cede some of your destiny to the partners that you choose to work with. And so it's an absolute pleasure to get to work together, and I thank Kim for so much for coming and giving the talk today.
And I thank both of you for joining me on podtech.net. I'm here at CDN Live at the San Jose McHenry Convention Center with Mike Pfister, CEO and President of Cadence Design Systems, Inc., and Jim Kale, IBM Fellow. Thanks again.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.